Audience participation suggested. KKFT is Nevada's Fox News FM talk station, 99.1
and 92.3 FM.
The correct answer to our question for those two pair of tickets to the Jackpot of Gems show, the answer was Jurassic. The answer was Jurassic era. The question, of course, was when was John Potter born? So I want to congratulate those. Oh, some people believe that, you know. I mean, look at me.
You're a fossil, in the studio. John, you're a fossil.
Thanks for the reminder, my friend. John Crawford is here, and Dr. Robert Houchin of the Douglas County Republican Committee. I'm so glad you guys are here. Hello, doctor.
Good morning.
I loved what you had to say the last time we had you on the show. I think it was 3 weeks ago in Carson City. You were a fascinating man. All us old people are, aren't we?
There you go.
John Crawford is the chairman of the Douglas County Republican Committee something, right?
Yes, sir.
What did I miss? I know there's two C's.
Pleasure to be back with you.
There's two C's at the end. What are they?
Central Committee.
Central Committee. You mean there's not a central committee?
Douglas County Republican Central
Central Committee. Okay, you got that covered. John, I'm going to have you start talking about the recent and near-term events, the focus of what the Douglas County Republicans are working on right now and what the public should be aligned with and help you out in your efforts to, well, number one, keep our state red. I think it is red right now, isn't it? Latest voter registrations?
It flips back and forth.
It does.
It's a little bit on the blue side right now, but
yeah, well, those are only the two cities. We're deep red outside of the two cities, or
correct,
the three, I should say.
Correct.
So, John, what's up? What are we focusing on so much time before the next election, but you're hard at work. So what are the priorities right now, John?
Well, first, John, I'd be remiss if I didn't address the tragedy that occurred this week
sure,
with the abhorrent terrorist attack on taking Charlie Kirk's life, taking a true treasure from us and igniting a firestorm, I believe. And I want to touch on a couple of things. We are in the process of trying to organize a vigil in his honor for Monday evening. One of our members,
oh,
Virginia Niece, is
we
taken.
Had one last night.
There was one in Reno last night.
Oh, which one will this be?
This will be a member of our committee, Douglas County Republican Central Committee. Virginia mm-hmm. Niece is busy organizing a vigil at Mitch Park in the Rancho, Gardnerville Ranchos, down in Gardnerville. And probably 5 o'clock on Monday evening, so your listeners can look for notification coming out through our website and through other avenues like Nextdoor, Gardnerville Conservative Facebook page. There will be some notification. It is short notice, and so if you're in the area and have a desire, there will be an opportunity to pay honor to in the memory of Charlie Kirk.
Well, I'm glad you're doing this because, listen, it's quite a distance between Gardnerville and the Ranchos in Reno, and a lot of people, it's a tough drive. And a lot of people didn't even know about the vigil last night until it was too late. I heard it was very respectful and went very well.
I didn't know about it until after the fact, and it did look like good attendance. It was really heartfelt.
Yeah, I was a little fearful about who else would show up to the vigil to create any kind of disruption. We're certainly not going to have that in the Gardnerville area. So,
and we're also planning at our next meeting next month, October 9th, at our general meeting, to do a similar large part of our agenda will be dedicated in his honor.
All right, folks, we'll mark it down Monday, 5 o'clock in the Gardnerville Ranchos Park. And it's a done deal. You're going to have it. You said you were
yes.
working on it.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
It's a done deal. Monday at 5 o'clock, vigil for Charlie Kirk, Gardnerville Ranchos Park. All right, John, go ahead.
And beyond that, and also if anybody did see Erica Kirk's tribute to Charlie yesterday when she came out and did a beautiful tribute. That was an inspiring tribute. So if you can get online and catch up and see that entire tribute, it's well worth listening to, watching.
Yeah.
Beyond that, we have been busy trying to get word out on 2026 election cycle and making ourselves present and getting voter registrations. Donna Tanner's been very active around town working the voter registration with her team.
It's getting frightfully close.
Yeah. We were out at the Douglas County Rodeo last week, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday, talking to a lot of people, have great conversation, taking up a few voter registrations. Friday night, I got a visit from Stavros Anthony, our lieutenant governor, stopped by and for an extensive chat. It's really a pleasure to chat with him every time. We've done another item, a new one for us. On September 6th, we had a fundraiser, but it was a cornhole tournament. So it was very much a community event, and it brought a lot of other folks out, and it wasn't so much a political overtone thing. It was a community bonding thing, and it was a first event of its type for us, and it was really went well. Terry Huffman, who organized that for us, did an excellent job, and it really set a stage for future successes. So we'll be doing a lot of more of those community bonding events in the future for sure.
You are an active group. I gotta say, look at this. All right, keep
going. A big item coming up is our annual Heritage Barbecue on October 4th out at Douglas County Fairgrounds. And the theme for this is making ranching great again. And that's big in our area. We love our ranchers and we like to honor them. We will be honoring them. And the whole theme is all about them. We will have some great speakers at this event. Our keynote speaker is Janice Rogers Brown, a former jurist with the Court of Appeals in D.C. Circuit Court and a former Associate Justice of the California Supreme Court. And she's going to be delivering a great keynote address. And I hope folks get out there. You can go on our website, douglasnvgop.org, and purchase tickets to our barbecue. So we look forward to seeing a lot of folks out there for that.
Give me that website one more time.
DouglasNVGOP.org.
Oh, that's easy. Okay.
Another thing I like to mention, as promised, right after Labor Day, Governor Joe Lombardo is kicking off his full swing campaign, and he's going to be starting a 17-county visit right away. And he will be in Gardnerville at Woodette's Diner at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, the 17th, this coming Wednesday. He'll be spending about an hour with us. So if you can get out to Woodette's, show up, give some great support to kicking off Joe Lombardo's successful campaign for re-election to governor. And if he can't be there on the 17th, Carson City will be he'll be in Carson City at the Craft 55 Brew Room at the Casino Fandango at 6 o'clock on the 16th. So Tuesday in Carson and Wednesday in Gardnerville. And if you can make both of those events, all the better.
You guys know how to have fun. I mean, a lot of those are fun-based events. So you brought up the governor's campaign. How many opponents do we have lined up against him so far?
Right now I'm aware of one.
Well, there's Aaron Ford, yes. There's Alexis Hill. The Washoe County commissioner is running for governor. Everybody down south of Southern Nevada is, what? Who? So we got two, I see. Boy, Aaron Ford is going to come up with a lot of... well, first off, he really cranked up the PR machine. He was putting out a nonsense story every week about something, the great thing he did. All he did was sign on to these suits that other states did. He also... folks co-sponsored a major bill that would have limited state and local authorities in Nevada from cooperating in federal immigration activities. You won't hear about this from the media or for him. He did this in 2017. He sponsored a major bill which would have limited state authorities from cooperating with ICE, but the bill died. Now, as he kicks off his gubernatorial bid against Governor Lombardo, Ford's original backing, as well as his office's guidelines on what obligations agencies have in immigration enforcement, that should be a central attack from Republicans on him. He's not going to bring it up, but in 2017, he wanted to stop ICE in Nevada. He promised to protect the rights of illegal immigrants, and his radical record shows he still supports sanctuary policies for Nevada. And he's the top contender against Governor Lombardo. All right, Doctor, you've been very silent for good reason, because your segment is up next. In light of the recent tragedies, Dr. Houchin has an insight into the history of political assassinations in America. Doctor, you're all set to go after the commercials, right?
Absolutely.
All right, good. This will be great, folks. Stick around. One more segment with the Douglas County Republican Central Committee, John and the Doctor. We'll be right back. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 11:17.
The golden age of America begins right now.
It's The Weekend with John Potter.
I wish I lived in the golden age.
99.1 FM and in Lyon County, 92.3 FM News Talk.
Hello, folks. Welcome back. Welcome back. It's 11:20. I'm John Potter with John and the Doctor here. We are going to talk about assassination history in our great country. I was just told that the bill in 2017 that Aaron Ford sponsored that would prevent Nevada authorities from cooperating with ICE. This was a 2017 bill. Why did it die after a lack of support? It was because local police departments were up in arms about it. They were not happy not using resources for immigration enforcement. And so it faced staunch opposition from law enforcement agencies who feared it could also jeopardize federal funding. As amended, an amended version that barred law enforcement from asking about legal status that he wanted to pass also did not advance, and the bill was dropped shortly after. Thereafter, he is a total sanctuary man, and he is the top candidate so far against Lombardo. All right, here we go. Dr. Robert Houchin, one of my favorite guests, in light of recent tragedies, Doctor, you have an insight into the history of political assassinations in America, and I would appreciate hearing your words. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, sir. Back in the dark ages, when I was in high school, a history professor gave me a quotation that said, "Those who forget history are doomed to relive it." And that took a hold with me, and I've been a student of history ever since. So there's been 37, now 38 notable assassinations in this country. And it started with Joseph Smith, the leader of the Mormon Church, in 1844. He was trying to suppress newspaper articles about polygamy, and the mob killed him. We go from there in 1865 to Abraham Lincoln, James Garfield in 1881. Garfield was only president from March until September of 1881. David Hennessy, New Orleans police chief, fighting corruption, was taken out by the mob. President William McKinley, 1901, and he was succeeded then by a guy by the name of Teddy Roosevelt. Don Mellott, a journalist in 1926, another anti-crime journalist in 1935, Walter Liggett. Huey Long, the Louisiana governor in 1935. He was a tax the rich, give to the poor governor. Harry Moore and Harriet Vida Sims Moore in 1951. They started the NAACP in Florida in 1934. The KKK took them out by bombing their house in 1951. 1963, of course, we get to JFK. I was in high school. I remember that day vividly. Of course, we all do. 1963 also gives us Medgar Evers, the NAACP, Lee Harvey Oswald. 1964, the KKK strikes again. Civil rights activists Mickey Schwarmer, Andrew Goodman, and James Cheney are taken out. Malcolm X in 1965, George Lincoln Rockwell in 1967, the founder of the American Nazi Party, Martin Luther King in 1968, and I like to say that I spent 1968 and 1969 in Vietnam. And I like to say that the Vietnam War saved my life. Because if I hadn't been in Vietnam, I'd have been on a freedom bus somewhere down in the south, and I'd be in a swamp somewhere with cement overshoes.
You would have been in the same spot where those freedom fighters were killed?
I would have gone down there.
Okay.
You know, I just leaned in that direction, and I would have been in the south.
God bless you.
I visited Texas in that era, and my aunt took me to a grocery store. And I went to get a drink, and she says, "You can't drink out of that drinking fountain. That's the black drinking fountain." I said, "It looks white to me." She says, "You don't understand." I said, "You're right. I don't understand."
Yeah, hard lesson to learn back then. Thank God things have changed
so much. That's a fact. Fred Hampton in 1969, organizer of the Black Panthers. Don Bowles in 1976, he was taken out with a car bomb. George Moscone and Harvey Milk in 1978. And this brings Dianne Feinstein to the forefront as a supervisor. She had to announce this. And she uses that notoriety to go on to become a United States Senator. Judge John Wood becomes the first federal judge in 1979. And the hitman that took him out was Charles Harrelson, father of Woody Harrelson.
These are just the political assassinations.
That's right.
Right, okay. Go on.
John Lennon in 1980. Alfred Lowenstein in 1980. He was a U.S. congressman. Alan Berg in 1980, a talk show host.
Oh, yeah, Denver. Yeah.
Yes. Paul Castellanos took out Carlo Gambino in 1981, and then he gets taken out by John Gotti.
Is that political, though, Doctor?
You know, the crime family and politics.
I mean, if you want to talk about gangsters, that would be a long list, too. We'll have to pare this down a bit.
There you go. Huey Newton in 1989, founder of the Black Panther Party.
Mm-hmm.
Meyer Kahane in 1980, formed the Jewish Defense League. Then in 1996, we have Tupac Shakur, Biggie Smalls in 1997, Jam Master Jay in 2002. And George Tiller in 2009. George Tiller was an abortion doctor. And so his assassin said, "I saved thousands."
I did look on, you can go online and Google list of political assassinations. It'll take you to Wikipedia. That's a hell of a long Wikipedia post there.
That's a fact.
But it's a good one. It has the pictures and everything. Any reaction on your behalf over the Charlie Kirk assassination, Doctor?
Massive. I mean, it just leaves a hole that's beyond belief. I would credit Jade Henricks with the following. The assassination of Charlie Kirk was not just the killing of a brilliant young mind, a husband, and a father. It was an attempt to kill the truth. It was an attempt to kill a movement of young adults engaging in public discourse about the essential truths of humanity. And it was an attempt to kill civility. This is not to say that everything Charlie said was true. I don't think that's the case for any of us. But Charlie Kirk engaged the arena of ideas more courageously, more robustly, and more civilly, and with more faith than just about anyone in the public square today, which is why he had such a following among the youth. He was different. He did not, as far as I could tell, use inflammatory language, so common in today's public discourse. He was obviously a staunch conservative and a man of genuine faith, with firm conviction and a gift for debate, all of which got him killed. But his conservatism was not ideological or partisan. It came from conviction and well-reasoned conviction. The loss of Charlie Kirk at the hands of yet another practitioner of the culture of death is a tragedy for the country, since he, more than anyone else, attempted good faith efforts to mold civil discourse and debate in the public square. His hallmark characteristic was the use of speech with patience and kindness, not violence. You might disagree with him, but he would give anyone a genuine hearing and then respond. Charles James Kirk, 1993 to 2025. May he rest in peace.
Well, this was murder for words.
Absolutely.
He was just going and talking to people on the other side. He'd go to campuses. He talked with Bill Maher. He was on Gavin Newsom's podcast. He was literally in the middle of answering a question and picked up the microphone and was shot dead in the throat for the crime of debating issues in the public square. He wanted the debate. He wanted the dialogue. He was not trying to cancel or censor or shut people down. He just wanted to have those conversations with them. And words fail me. Anything else, Doctor?
Well, I learned this morning that the assassin's roommate is a transgender.
Okay. And that goes along with what I guess President Trump wants to restrict guns away from those with mental issues, i.e. trans. Now, the thing with that is when you say mental issues, it's a huge, I mean, you could be talking about people who are just suffering depression or PTSD, or that's a pretty wide range there. And it has to be, I think, narrowed down to more.
Clearly is. It's clearly a can of worms.
Okay.
Having been in the Medical Service Corps, the military,
mm-hmm.
and having had many years to reflect on it and being in the medical professions for my whole life, I'm firmly convinced at this point that every combat soldier comes home with PTSD, 100%.
Yeah, I think you're talking about a third of the population when you talk mental illness in some form, mild form, or anything like that. I don't see how this personally would work out. And I've always had this chip on my shoulder about people who blame violent acts on must be mental illness. To me, that is a terrible slander on people who have mental illness. The people I know with mental illness don't have an ounce of violence in their body. And this is, I think, a terrible insult to just assign every dastardly violent act to mental illness. That's not what mental illness is necessarily about.
I completely agree. And it comes down to who makes the decision.
I think it's evil. There is evil in the world. And in this particular case, that was evil.
That's a fact.
Okay. Okay. Anything else, guys?
Well,
let's do the giveaway.
There you go.
You stick around?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. We're going to break for Fox News and local news with Greg Neft. And then we're going to come back. And you guys are fun, despite that conversation. We have a barbecue. Right, John? You mentioned it.
And Bob is prepared to give away tickets.
Okay, tickets to the barbecue. We're going to do that after we break here. We'll be back very soon. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 11:32.
Fox News and live FM Talk Radio, KKFT, 99.1 FM Talk. And live right now with your calls.
The Weekend on News Talk 99.1 and 92.3 FM.
Hello, friends. Welcome back. And I do appreciate all your comments that you text in and such. Just to wrap this up, Mr. Kirk was killed representing, I think, the very American ideal that we settle our fights with words and not with weapons, which, doctor, that sounds cliche now, doesn't it? But it's how we're here. And it's how this experiment in self-government works. And we had to, did you mention the Minnesota lawmaker and her husband? They were killed in June. We have the Pennsylvania governor's house torched in April. And, of course, two attempts on the president in 1 year. And I just never thought we were going to get to this point.
There you go. I have a list of many attempted assassinations. William Howard Taft, Teddy Roosevelt, Herbert Hoover, FDR, Harry Truman, Richard Nixon. Nixon, the Bremer, who took a shot at Nixon.
Oh, that's right.
Then took out George Wallace.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You got a lot of pages there.
Gerald Ford three times.
And that's the sad thing, that there are so many pages detailing all this.
Barack Obama 11 times.
No kidding.
Yes.
I did not know that.
Donald Trump five times in his first.
Now, where did you get that information about 11 attempts on Obama? You mean a death threat letter? Does that qualify in this?
Things like people driving trucks through the gates at the White House trying to get at him and stuff like that.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, my
gosh. Bomb threats, that type of thing. Five times Donald Trump the first time. Hillary Clinton, two more times Donald Trump now.
So now every single president or contender is, of course, going to have a death threat at least.
At least.
Something that somebody took to action, death threat.
Right.
Okay. Well, let's have some fun. Okay, let's break the mood. worst segue ever. We have a pair of tickets to this awesome barbecue. John, tell us. I missed the date the first time. Go ahead.
October
tell us about
4th,
the barbecue.
October 4th, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Douglas County Fairgrounds in Gardnerville.
Is this, John, is this a free-for-all barbecue? It's not one of those things where you pay like $6 for some ribs or something like that, right? This is just everybody eats barbecue.
Yes, right. It's a prime rib lunch dinner.
Prime rib.
Provided by, catered by Woodette's Diner.
How much are tickets?
$95 tickets.
Oh, these are good
available
tickets.
Available on our website.
These are good tickets.
It's going to be a fabulous day. A lot of elected dignitaries and local dignitaries and ranchers will be talking to us about the heritage of ranching in the valley.
Okay.
And so it's really going to be a wonderful event.
All right, Doctor, how are we going to do this? You have a question?
We have a question. Everybody knows the first. Nobody knows the second. Everybody knows who was the first man on the moon. Nobody knows who was second. So our question for today is, Charles Lindbergh was the first person to fly solo across the Atlantic. Who was second?
Wow. I'm curious myself. We are going to take a break. You're going to tell me the answer. I'm going to give the answer to Craig. And Craig will give the very valuable Barbecue Fest tickets away to the first correct texter at 775-884-9910. The first person to fly around the world, Charles Lindbergh, who was the second? All right. Oh, this is great. So we'll take that break right now. Craig, I'll give you the answer the minute I'm off the air here. 884-9910, text us the answer. And good luck. We'll be back in a few. 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk time, 11:41.
99.1 KKFT.
This is what I think.
Talk that matters most. FM Talk, 99.1.
And 92.3 FM.
Welcome back, friends. Welcome back. John Potter in studio. One more segment with John Crawford and Dr. Robert Houchin. Douglas County Republican Central Committee. We just did a little contest here. The good doctor had a question. Doctor, we got the answer in a flash. In a flash. What was the question?
The question was, who was the second person to fly solo across the Atlantic?
After Lindbergh.
After Charles Lindbergh.
And the answer?
The answer is the first woman to do it, and that's Amelia Earhart.
Well, this person knew right off. Yep. You know, these, right? Is that right, Craig? Who's the winner?
Sean is our winner. And, it literally, I think it was about 15 to 20 seconds after you said the question that he popped up. So he was ready to text.
And John Crawford predicted that.
Well, thanks, Craig. These contests are so hard to do now. We were just talking about how the internet has ruined these fun radio contests. You know, when I was starting out in radio, my first radio station that I worked at, I was 17, and our biggest thing every year was the big trivia. It was called trivia, and we blocked out, I think, 3 days. I mean, we still did the news, but we have these questions, and we'd ask the question, and people would frantically try to find the answer. And when the internet came up, Google first appeared, that killed it. That killed the whole thing.
Trivial Pursuit. I have a thorn in my side over Trivial Pursuit.
Why is that?
We were playing in the Rotary, and the question was, where was Richard Nixon when Gerald Ford was sworn in? Okay, so I dead.
What a question!
Yeah,
what I know.
Yeah, so I dead reckoned. Okay, we saw the helicopter leave, go over to the airbase. He gets on the plane. I'm guessing at the length of time. So I say, okay, he was in Air Force One over Missouri. And they said to me, what altitude?
What altitude? Oh, my gosh. No wonder nobody buys that game anymore.
Amen to that.
All right. Well, once again, folks, the vigil has been organized for Monday. Charlie Kirk vigil, 5 o'clock in the Gardnerville Ranchos Park on Monday. It is all set up. Thank you for doing that, John Crawford. And how are things in Douglas County? I'm amazed. Every time I drive down the main drag, suddenly you got 3 brand new fast food restaurants. You've changed the, not you, but the whole character, especially in Minden, has been changed. It's a little metropolis with all new construction and buildings. John, how's the area doing?
I think what's popped up lately is Big Chicken, Firehouse
Big
Subs,
Chicken, yes.
Chipotle. I don't know if you know, down a little bit further, closer to the Walgreens down there, UPS store, there's a brand new Togo's.
You have a new Dairy Queen, too, don't you? Didn't I see
one? DQ's been there for quite a while.
Oh, okay.
But McDonald's moved.
Yes. End of that incredibly busy intersection.
It is a fast food paradise.
Yeah. And they also got, in that mix, they got the Wiener Schnitzel.
The new Wiener Schnitzel,
yeah,
that's right.
That they closed on Mill Street and moved down there.
Used to be Sonic, now it's the Wiener Schnitzel.
Yes. You been to the Wiener Schnitzel, Craig?
I have. I love it.
You love it. Okay, I love it with the chili, I got to say. Those are good good wieners.
Yep. Chili and or the sauerkraut. That's a good combo, too.
Gentlemen, have you tried these new restaurants that opened up? John, you were saying you were at one of them, weren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I went to Chipotle the very first day that they had opened, their grand opening, and had a great experience. It was well-staffed. It was clean. It was... the service was fabulous and fast, and the food was excellent. On the first day of operation, that's really unusual.
Now, they construct the burrito in front of you.
I always go for the bowl because they say you get 20% more with the bowl than you do in a rolled burrito.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I don't know if it's true. I was told that.
That is information worth knowing.
That's a fact.
But... I always wondered when they're constructing the burritos in front of you, is it rude to say, a little bit more of that, please?
No, it's not rude at all. In fact, they appreciate it. They want to cater to the customer's taste.
Oh, man, that's great news. Have it your way. Your population is growing, of course. I don't know what's going on in Carson City. What's going on with the population numbers there? The Nevada Appeal just came out with Carson City student enrollment numbers, and the downward trend continues. There are 130 fewer Carson City students this school year than last. We're down Empire Elementary, down 44 students, Carson High down 40. And this will likely, I don't know what's going on here. I mean, that area, that was a booming area. With all the other northern Nevada booming areas. And Nevada had the highest growth rate in the country from the latest 80s to the early 2000s. And now Carson City's population is experiencing slow growth. The city's population actually dropped from 2020 to the 2025 census estimate. Are they moving to Douglas County?
It seems that way. On 395 during the day, it sure seems that way. Just from a year ago, a lot more traffic than I knew of just a year or two ago.
But I wonder with Carson, is it getting too expensive to live there? Are family sizes really getting smaller with the drop in the birth rate, which I brought up at length a couple of weeks ago? What could be the reason Carson City keeps losing population?
I haven't studied the statistics on that.
It's a bit of a shock, really. It's a wonderful city.
I can tell you that a big part of the drop in school enrollment is due to a huge increase in homeschooling since COVID.
No, really?
Yeah.
Okay, I haven't heard that opinion before, but it makes sense. You know, people get used to doing things a certain way. School education as a whole took a terrible hit with the Sisolak close down of the schools, which I thought was idiotic. COVID never targeted kids.
Right.
What a loss that was for education to just shut down the schools like that, and even small businesses like he did. In effect, I think that generated more suicides, people losing their livelihoods and such, and just the wrong moves back then. Okay, anything else, gentlemen? I'm just killing time here.
I look at our little mall just right there on 395, and it's about, still remains about a third empty.
Yeah. You're talking the Carson City Mall, mm-hmm. where now, let me think now, the one where Grocery Outlet was.
Yes.
Has been filled with kind of a flea marketplace.
Yeah.
Either those or churches, you kind of wonder about real estate. You know, the downtown Reno movie theater has been sold to a church.
Yes.
I'm not going to disparage that. I just think it's a loss because, of course, churches don't pay the property or the tax, and I don't think it's good news for the city.
Well, I believe the theater in Gardnerville-Minden has been taken over by the county as well.
No kidding. Now, the Carson City Theater was bought by, I think, the local government, wasn't it? Arts and the arts department or something.
I think that's true.
That was a wonderful bargain theater in Carson City. So it was the Douglas County or the Gardnerville. He had a little theater there by the Carson Valley Inn, right?
Right, and I think it's more down by Dairy Queen.
Okay, but it's still open and showing movies?
Yeah, I believe they're operating as a theater for one more year, and then the county takes over.
We're going to reach the day when we're going to talk about these places where they had a projector and such, right?
I'm one of my jobs through college was I was the manager of the Canyon Theater in San Dimas, California, and I did everything. Sell tickets, man the snack bar, run the projector. There was a carbon arc projector in those days.
How interesting, Doctor. I had two jobs to pay my way through college, and one of them was a movie theater projectionist.
No kidding.
Yeah, and that was my job in Valparaiso, Indiana. I loved it, actually. When you had the CinemaScope movies, and you had the two projectors, and you had to look at the screen, and if you saw the dot at the upper right, that means, quick, turn on the other projector, and the pros made it to where you couldn't tell.
Yes.
When you went from one projector to the other. So I worked there and the local radio station back then.
There you go, the Q marks.
The Q marks, oh my gosh, you are. We ought to start off. Yes, go
ahead.
I need
to interrupt for just a minute. A few minutes ago, you referred to the Grocery Outlet, now a flea market. Actually, the Grocery Outlet is now the Carson Antiques and Collectibles Mall, and they're a client of ours, so.
Oh, they are?
Yes. I wanted to clarify that it's not flea market. He has lots of stuff from everywhere.
Well, not I like just, flea markets. Yeah. Come on.
But Carson Antiques and Collectibles Mall.
Okay. I love those places. I'm definitely going to check it out. You guys been there?
I have been there.
Yeah. Yeah, I could spend hours in places like that. Okay. Well, awesome. Guys, it was great talking with you. I got to remind one more time because I want a big turnout. Monday at 5 o'clock, the vigil for Charlie Kirk at the Gardnerville Ranchos. And based on the voting records of your community there, I think that's going to be a huge turnout for you there.
Short notice, and I hope you're right.
What do you present at a vigil? What's the lineup going to be?
Well, the concept right now is to have a leader of one of our, a pastor of one of our churches say some words, have individuals express their own thoughts and feelings from a kind of a soapbox type of open mic talk, and have a lot of prayer and remembrance of Charlie Kirk.
Is it candlelight?
I believe it will be.
Well, I mean, 5 o'clock.
It's 5 o'clock's a little early, but.
Right.
Yeah. You know,
so maybe the candlelight at 6:30?
Towards the end.
Towards the end there. Okay. All right. Anything else people can should be aware of?
If you're in the Minden area on any Tuesday over the next few weeks, stop by and visit our voter registration tent. We'll be out there taking voter registrations, talking to the community, and it's a fabulous. The flea market this year is really taken off. I'm not flea market. The farmer's market. You got me
true. Farmers Market.
It's all my fault.
The Farmers Market in Minden has really grown and expanded. Roxanne's done a great job organizing
everything.
Get out there.
Everything has grown and expanded in Douglas County, and it kind of bothers me, to be honest with you. I mean, I like that little town. When I went to the Overland for Basque dinner and went to the park across the street and such, I mean, you're maintaining the look of it off the main drag. You have some spotless residential neighborhoods.
Yes,
I mean,
do.
These people go out and they pick, if there's a solitary leaf on a lawn out there, another neighbor will let the next door neighbor know about it. I mean, it's spotless. It's crazy. It reminds me of the time when I lived in Vegas next to this Oriental man who was so neat that he brought out his vacuum cleaner and ran the vacuum cleaner up and down the driveway. That's a really neat area, but a beautiful neighborhood. I don't, you know, let's put a cap on these fast food restaurants. It's just kind of taking the character away from a beautiful town. Well, there's a music. And there's that cane pulling me away.
Thank you for having
us. All right, John, Doctor, great talking with you.
Thank you again, John.
Yeah, thank you. I'm John Potter, live and local. Talk to you next Saturday from Carson City. We're going to be doing the show next Saturday, so that'll be fun. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Folks, have an outstanding weekend. Enjoy FM Talk News Time, 11:58.